2-1-2, comm check.
DPS. Go. Inco. Go. PUS. Go. Surgeon. Go. Booster. Go. Copy that. We have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
It's our love.
Yeah.
It's our love, love, love.
Yo, tell them about it,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
man. It's our love, man.
It's our love.
It's our love, it's our love, it's our love.
Yeah.
It's our love.
It's our love.
It's our love. Yo, been in stealth mode, but now it's time to come up. Whack MCs, come around, get done up. Dummies with their skill like Jeff Dunham. Building bars beneath the surface, yeah. So my skill will never plummet. The flow is heavy, like some wastewater plumbing. I never knew the day would come when everything else around me stopped. Music and love combined, like crooked
hello,
government
everybody,
and cops.
And welcome to the Talking Sound podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host. The incredible music you are hearing behind you is the title track. It's All Love off of the awesome new album, It's All Love. By Big Mike Pareto from the College of Hip Hop Knowledge here in Austin, Texas. I've been absolutely loving this album for probably about the last month. Welcome to the show, Big Mike Pareto. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I just wanted to come in on that song because it is absolutely phenomenal, man. The production behind it, produced by Ill Fudge. I just want to listen to that for another second.
To walk a straight line, it's not easy to do it. Taking bruises from the losing. Images is confusing. Smoke and mirrors, illusions. So pollution's what we're choosing. So polluting, it's what we're doing. The healing is real when you start the revolution.
Now, we've had you on the show before, Big Mike. Talking about the founding of the College of Hip Hop Knowledge with you and Jason the Professor.
Correct.
Let's start getting into a little bit about this album itself, the creation of the album, the inception of it, the recording of it, everything. It's got so many different flavors on it, from modern hip hop style to what you just heard, which is very old school soul influenced.
Sure.
Let's dive in a little bit to your background. How was it that you first got into hip hop and writing and recording?
Man, I started with poetry for me, actually. So my oldest sister, Mercedes, she introduced me to hip hop back in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. I guess. And just influenced from that, I always dug the music and the beats and all that. And I always liked to write. English was my favorite subject, so I liked doing poetry and writing short stories and things of that nature. And, of course, that, you know, led me to kind of draw more close to East Coast-style hip-hop, which is kind of what you hear there from me, because it's more storytelling.
Yeah, it is a little bit more narrative style.
For sure. It's more, you know, you really got something to say, you know. And so That's kind of where I started from, and I would say probably at the age of like 9 or 10, I was starting to write. You know, my poetry was turning into rhymes at that point. You know,
oh wow,
shifting kind of what I was writing and the content. What I was writing was what I was hearing from the hip hop that I was immersed in.
And to know that you started writing originally when you were, like you said, 9, 10 years old,
yeah.
such a young age. What was it like with your parents? Myself, as the father of a young child, I encourage him, like, you're sitting right now in front of my son's equipment rack. All that gear is his to play with and do what he likes. So
nice.
It's one of those, like, I encourage that
right.
in my kid. How did your parents feel about your writing hip-hop, things like, because, I mean, it doesn't necessarily always have the best connotation
right.
to parents,
right.
at least not when we were coming up.
Yeah,
for sure. You know,
well,
it's a little bit different received now than it was 15, 20 years ago.
For sure. And there was, you know, it's kind of one of those things. When I got into it, it was like when it was taking the forefront, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my dad would kind of make fun of it because, like, I go back to, like, Crisscross, you know, where they were wearing their clothes backwards, you know, and I did that. You know what I mean? That was, like, right when I was really starting to get into hip-hop. And he would be like, boy, you look crazy, you know. Why are you dressed like that? And I would walk around the house like that, and I'd be rhyming the songs, you know, that their songs. But a lot of times I didn't share a lot of what I was writing. You know what I mean? Like, I did it. I scribbled it at school after finishing a test or whatever have you, you know. But I've always been creative, and I used to love to read books a lot. So I was always creating stuff in my mind.
Yeah. And that is what I love. You do have such a narrative style to your lyric architecture and the way that you move with your lyrics.
Sure.
Where do you really start off whenever you start writing and composing lyrics for a song?
It kind of, when the art is getting created, in my mind, it can come from different direction anytime. Like, I could get the influence from the beat and write a hook. And I could hear a beat and be like, I like that, you know.
Yeah.
I could say this, or I could write this hook to that beat. And then sometimes it's completely opposite, to where I'll write a whole song and then have a beat produced around the lyrics of the song. So that way I like to, my words, I like to think that I intertwine my words with the rhythm of the music as well. It's not just me rapping over a beat,
yeah,
but it's in unison with the melodies and the rhythm of the song. And so it hits me different ways, to be honest, man. I'd say probably the most common way is, you know, I'll hear some beats and I'll be like, oh, I kind of like that beat. And then I'll be like, okay, what type of topic do I feel from this beat? And then I'll write a hook.
Yeah.
And then from the hook, once I get the hook down, then I'll start writing verses around it. That's probably the most common way. But there's been songs that I've written that I wrote first and then had to be created around it. And those are honestly one of the more powerful, So It's All Love was real easy. We added Lady Shacklin to that after the fact. But The Streets is another one on this album. She wrote the hook to that. And so then that gave us the inspiration.
Wow. And that's what's so much fun about collaborating, man, with other artists in the writing. Because it's one thing to collaborate with them just in the studio. It's another thing to collaborate with them during the writing process.
Yes, definitely. And that's one thing that, like, this project here is, I've had people tell me, close friends, that, man, thank you for their support and everything. They always support me.
Yeah.
But have told me the one thing that they wish I did with this album, they wish that I wrote and recorded more bars on my songs, because they wanted to hear me rap more. And they're like, you have a lot of features. And I said, well, that was the whole premise of this project, was coming together and collaborating with these amazing artists.
Yeah, hence the name of the album. It's All Love.
Right. And so, you know, that was the whole theory behind it. But yeah, I love collaborating. One of the things I do with artists is, I've had people do this to me and I don't like it. So I would never do this to an artist I'm collaborating with, whether it's musically or, you know, writing verses or hooks or whatever. But I would never sit there and say, oh, I want you to write about this on this verse. Okay. Well, at that point, because I've done this before too.
Sure.
People have paid me to write verses for their songs based on what their song is. That's more of that type of service, right?
Yeah.
So the creation of it is always from that artist. If I want to collaborate with an artist, I want what they're going to give. And a lot of times, honestly, on some of these, I sent the beat out to the artist that was collaborating, that was featuring on my song, and I allowed them to do their part first. So that way, and not to try to outdo them or any of that, but I want a cohesive song.
Yeah, I was going to say, to try and weave those together is a little bit easier to do when you have those than to parse it out
and then stitch it together later.
Yeah,
exactly. And so,
interesting.
It works both ways. Like, I've done it with some where I have just sent them, you know, maybe the beat or just the hook, or just told them the concept, and then they've recorded it.
Yeah,
and it works. But I prefer to do it that way, because then that gives everybody equal time to create. I'm writing something, even though I'm waiting for them to hear what they have. I already have something.
Yeah.
So I might tweak it a little bit, or I might wait till I get theirs back and then go, okay, I want this to flow like a full song, not just verses over beats.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. And it, to be able to, like you said, really meld those things together as much as possible.
Exactly.
And make them as seamless as possible can be much easier to do in the background of that.
Exactly.
Than it can be doing everything and then sending it out.
Exactly. Yeah, because you might get some that, you know, I've done that before. I've had people send me stuff, and it's like it doesn't really match, you know, with where the song was supposed to go. But at the same time, I don't want to say, hey, your verse doesn't really match.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Well, and that's just it, you know. Like, you definitely don't want to be that guy in the studio that's like, well, that was all right.
Exactly. And I've had that happen to me before.
I've had it happen to me, too.
And check this out, man. I will never work. I've never worked with that person anymore.
Cause it was
like, why would you...
Just such an off-putting experience.
Well, no,
to,
it went to the point where they wanted to tell me exactly what to write about, and I'm like, "Well, I'm an artist. I'm gonna do what I want to do.
Yeah.
If you want me to do what you want to do, but just in my voice, then that's you got to pay me to do that. Like, I'm gonna give you my art for free. But if you want a service, then that's a fee.
Yeah, that's a different thing, man. Exactly. If you're gonna absolutely control what I'm writing and how I'm writing it,
exactly.
Yeah, and that is definitely removing a lot of the art out
for
of it.
Sure.
At least the extemporaneous art, the let me see what I can just pull out.
Exactly.
And it turns into much more of a let me sit down. And
I just feel like it really changes the aspect from let's collaborate.
Yeah.
Hey, come sit down. I'm going to tell you what to record, and then you record it.
Well, and see, I've had a little bit different experience with collaboration. Mm-hmm. Having come from the jam band scene, things like that, as an engineer, I very much got into the concept of live performance in the studio.
Sure.
And that concept of synergy between people, things like that. And even whenever I record my own electronic music, like you were listening to whenever you came in, that's been very hard to collaborate with people with. A lot of it is my method in writing and composition, things like that. It's not necessarily melody and harmony.
Yeah.
It's sound and duration, things like that. It looks much more like a nonlinear editing screen where it's like, okay, I'm going to use this sound for that chunk, that sound for this chunk, you know, and it looks like a big bar graph when you're done, instead of it looking like a staff of notes.
Right.
And that drives some people crazy.
Yeah.
And there's definitely the inspirational that happens with me in the studio. And that's normally where it's like a lot of people really aren't into that.
Right.
The studio is very regimented. And
it is.
This is what we're doing, and this is how we're doing it.
You're right.
And
you know, the same
it
thing.
There has been two people that I have been able to actively full-on collaborate with.
Nice. Yeah, that's good.
One of them, it happened. Most of the time it happens, and people are like, oh, wow, well, that felt really weird. just because of the delays and things that go on and all that kind of stuff and the way I create.
Yeah.
But there was one guy, my buddy Wes, that was like, wow, that was really cool. You think we could make that happen again? And I was, I don't know. Let's try.
Let's do it.
And then we did, and we did, and we did. And we just, like, I just got off the phone with him the other night, and we were just talking about how, like, man, in 1 year, we wrote swaths of music,
nice.
Like smooth 2 hours worth of music in a year, because it was just there.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get together and not create.
Exactly.
Who do you see, as your person like that here in this local scene right now, as far as artists that you work with, that kind of stuff?
Artists that I work with, I've got a couple of tracks on here with Lady Shacklin, you know, like her voice just, man, it's classic.
It
it's
is
beautiful.
Amazing. It's beautiful.
You know, and me and her have talked about, you know, doing more songs and putting a little project together. We've always talked about it. She's in Central Texas, but she's not in Austin, so it makes it hard.
Yeah.
Nick Cruz is another one who's on this track. Me and him talked about doing something together forever, and then, you know, we never did until this song. And we want to do more. Of course, Jason, the professor, you know, we do academic stuff. But, man, I'm really open to working with just about anybody, man. Like, as long as, you know, it seems like it's going to work. Like, I feel like I'm versatile to where I could somebody has a song and they want a verse, I could put a verse on it, no matter what style it is, you know, or whatever. So,
yeah,
you know, it's, I'm pretty open to doing it, but those are some of my favorites to work with so far.
Yeah, and it's nice when you can find the right crowd to fall in with, just those people that you vibe with, that you just, you step in and it's not really work at all.
Right.
You know, sometimes you're working in the studio and sometimes you're not.
Yeah, sometimes you find that it's difficult to work with certain people because, you know, to me, a lot about it is about vibe.
Yeah.
In the moment, but also person to person.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's just weird. Like, you know how it is with art. It gives you a certain feeling, motivation, and sensation, blah, blah, blah. All of the college hip-hop knowledge artists, you know, I've worked with all of them. I have songs with all of them, you know, and it's been good. It's been awesome, you know. Like, we're all, I guess it also matters, too, if you're working with the level of professionalism that you're working with people.
Yeah.
The easier they make it to work with them, the easier it is to work with them.
Yeah, so. Well, true. Yeah. And, you know, there definitely is that aspect. You really do have to guard yourself whenever you're collaborating with people. And we were kind of talking about that a little bit, just to go inside baseball for you folks, before we started the show, just hitching your trains to people, things like that. And it can be tough sometimes, especially in the studio, if somebody doesn't necessarily pull their weight.
Right.
You know, I mean, those are things, like you were saying a while ago, that come out very rapidly.
Yeah.
How have you found, as an artist, that this commitment in the studio translates to the rest of the business?
Oh, man. Commitment translates in every aspect. I mean, from being in the studio to, you know, booking shows, to organizing lineups for the shows, to, you know, talking to venues about events. And I mean, that's the biggest thing, is what I always believed in is quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And with quality comes dedication and work ethic and sacrifice, you know, and you've got to do it in every area. You can't be strong here and weak here, because that may be that one link that keeps you from getting where you want to be. And so I just find that when I go into the studio, I'm ready to record. You know, I go in and there's not a whole lot of lollygagging. The song's there. I've already written to it. I come in and, you know, I'm usually a couple takes with each part, lay down the main vocals, lay down a second layer, and then ad libs, whatever, however the song's going to be laid out. And then I'm done and I'm ready to move on to the next one. And so when I see artists that come into the studio and are able to do that, then I know that I'm working with the right people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because there really is, despite the madness and fury with which we all operate in the studio, like,
because
we all have a different method. There is a method to the madness. There is, there's a formula in the way to getting things done, like you were just saying. The way you get things done in the studio, you really look for those same traits and qualities for other people.
Definitely, because, I mean, it can be hard, you know. I've been in the studio before with artists, and, you know, and I'm not saying everybody has to be concise like that and precise when they come in ready, but, I mean, if we're scheduling out a session and you've had time to write and you tell me you're ready, then I expect you to come in and be pretty prepared.
Yeah.
And things can happen. It's happened to me once or twice where I got stuck on a part. Take a break, come back, get yourself together, boom, knock it out. You remember how you had it.
Yeah.
Maybe your connotations on certain words was off, so it threw off the whole verse, whatever. But it can be difficult, because I've seen artists get super frustrated and being like, dude, it's okay. You know, we're here. Like, we're in the studio right now. Like, you don't have to worry about the perfecting part of it. You're ready, right? You know your words. Yeah, okay. Compose yourself. Get your thoughts together. Take some deep breaths. Drink some water, whatever you need to do. Get back in the booth. Go in there. Knock it out.
Yeah.
Quit getting frustrated about it. You know, don't, because then you can't do that.
Yeah.
I've seen people get so out of sorts.
Yeah.
That they didn't go in there and one take Jake it, as people like to say. Then they're like, oh, in their head. And it's like, nah, dude, it's okay. Like, we're in our studio. Like, there's no rush. Like, you know, we're good. Just come in, you know, gather your thoughts once again and go back in and boom. And I think, honestly, man, it's something that with music is always exciting, but also the calmness to it of being able to go in there and knock it out and then know and that everything's good. You know what I mean? So yeah. That's like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to learn these verses. I'm going to go in there. It's total mental preparation before anything, right?
Yeah.
And then even your words yeah. and stuff is mental, you know, and reciting and listening. You know, I recite my stuff over and over and over and over and over and over, and then I listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over. And then when I perform live or if I need to go into the studio to record something, boom, it's already imprinted in my brain.
Yeah.
So it's just second nature to go in there and knock it out or be on stage and knock it out.
Yeah.
You know, and so the studio very much translates to the music, which also translates to the live performance because it's different energy on stage than it is in a studio, in a vocal booth, right?
Yeah.
You got a lot less room than you do on a stage, and you're feeding off the energy from the crowd. But if you go in and you know that you nailed your verse and you put exactly what you wanted to on that song and you're happy with it, you're going to learn that. And then when you perform live, you're going to be so hype about it, you're probably going to take it up a notch performance-wise, which is what you want to do. Anytime you want to do it live, you got to switch it up a notch. You know? You do.
And that's like whenever I used to go videotape my wife's performances, uh-huh. that's something that I always told the people on stage beforehand, like in the green room, was listen, I know that you were used to performing to this audience out there, but the camera has an audience that's way far away.
Yeah.
And if you use the same amount of energy that's just going to hit the third or fourth row.
Right.
It's not going to translate across the camera.
It's not.
It's got to be hitting the row back behind the camera
exactly.
with the energy.
Yeah.
And that can be really hard to do.
It is.
It can be really hard to literally psych yourself into that moment.
You do. Yeah. And it's one of those things, the more you do it, of course, the more comfortable you get with it.
You know?
And I feed off that energy. I love performing in front of live crowds. And I feed off it. So it gets me hype. And, then with how we perform our crew sets when we're all on stage, like on our bigger shows.
Yep.
That's amazing energy there because then we're all vibing off each other. You know,
the synergy just gets building and building.
Man. Yeah, it's awesome.
And how do you normally, when you're in the studio, see somebody kind of start meandering down that road of stuck?
Of getting stuck?
Yeah, yeah. Because there are definitely a few signs that you can... there are some signposts along that
way. For sure. I mean, you know, a lot of times what I normally see with vocals is people, you know, stumbling over their words. They're either saying it too fast or they're saying it too slow or they're pronouncing a word wrong. And that may be nothing. But a lot of times if I see somebody and the first time they get in there and they mess up towards the beginning of the part that they're recording, then it makes me question, were they ready or are they just nervous? You know, because
I mean, sure, absolutely.
We're there at a nice studio, you know, we're obviously in the room. I'm in the room chilling, but I'm there.
Yep.
Sound engineer is there capturing your stuff. You're putting on a performance for those people in the room. You know, sometimes there's other people. I personally don't like a lot of people in the studio when I'm recording.
Me neither.
Like, it doesn't affect me, so to speak.
Oh, it affects me.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't affect me when I record, but it definitely it changes the vibe in the room. Because when I'm going in there, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. I'm not thinking about what anybody else is listening to that's there. So it's almost like it could be a distraction in some ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people is one thing I've seen coming up. I remember people going to the studio and bringing like their whole crew with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then they're in there, you know, smoking blunts and getting drunk and on the phone. And I'm like, this is a very non-productive work environment right now.
So thanks for paying me money to hang out.
Exactly. What? I've seen so many people go in there and do that and then have no product to speak of when they come out because they didn't finish anything.
Yeah, precisely.
You're partying.
Precisely.
Like, that's not what the studio's for.
Well, and that was always something whenever bands would ask me after I'd run sound for them 3-4 times live, like, hey, Chris, we'd really love for you to be our sound guy. Like, full on. Anytime we go somewhere, we want you to be there to run sound for us.
Nice.
And I'd be like, all right, I can do that. But we need to have a band meeting.
Right.
And it was normally at rehearsal because I wanted to see how they rehearse.
Right. For sure.
So we'll have a rehearsal and then we'll have a band meeting.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, that's good.
And if it was, and I don't mind, hey, you know, don't get me wrong. I've had a little bit of reefer in my life. Mm-hmm. I like a drink here and there. I got a podcast called Dudes and Beer.
Right.
I obviously enjoy some beer. I do not get ragingly drunk on that show. I have one or two beers. But it's one of those, if that is what your intent is at rehearsal, this isn't jam time. This isn't let's figure out some tunes, whatever. This is rehearsal
a
show.
It's not dudes and beer Christmas jam.
Yeah. Like it's go time right now. Right. We need to practice like we're going to play. So we got time to drink after, right?
Right.
Let's all drink after.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the business at hand and get it done. And like you're saying, you can really learn to kind of spot those things.
Oh, for sure.
Right off the bat.
Exactly. And that's something that...
And you know your friends out there, folks. Don't be ashamed to not be in a band with them.
That's right. Exactly.
Don't be afraid to just be straight with your friends and go, hey, I'd love to be in a band with you. I just don't know that you'd be as dedicated.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that you would be as in on the nuances
for sure.
of a band.
Yeah. Well, I know people that have been in bands with close friends of mine that no longer in bands with close friends of mine.
Sure.
Because of that reason, because it got to a point where obviously if you're putting something together, you want it to become something, grow.
Yeah.
And when you get on those bigger stages, you know, Jimmy doesn't need to be howling drunk.
Yep.
You know, while he's singing a solo.
Yep. I always knew the bands that actively watched and listened to the DVDs and CDs that I sold them live. Like as you walked off stage, here's your DVD.
Right.
Like boom.
Yeah.
There it is. And I could tell the bands that watched them because after buying three or four, like a microphone would disappear off stage. Mm-hmm. The bassist would be like, oh, no, I don't need a mic. you know, because they'd be telling him for like a year or so, like, dude, I don't know, like, you do all right. But after you've had two or three beers, you get a little lippy.
Yeah,
you know, you're crazy. They love it. And then he sees it on camera and he's like, oh, no, they are so right.
You got to clean that up.
We just got to take that microphone away.
Exactly.
And typically it was the decision of, I'll just take the microphone away. I can play just fine. I say stupid things on a microphone.
Exactly.
So it was always good to see those people that did consider themselves a little bit more than the average artist that were trying from the get-go.
Yeah.
To really polish something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like that was a big reason that I sold those. I could tell the professional musicians that I wanted to work with because they bought them regularly. They watched them.
Yeah.
You could see the difference in their performance.
Too, you know? Yeah. You watch it and, oh man, I could have done this better. At this point, I could do that. You know, whatever it is. Of course, you know, in an MC, MC's master of the ceremony. We move the crowd. You know what I mean?
So,
you know, If you're not engaging your crowd, then what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. You got to inflect some energy, get those people to react to what you're saying, what you're doing, how you're moving, you know, and that's one thing over the years that I take pride in now. And I can say, you know, being in the game for a while, when I perform live, I consider myself one of the best live hip hop MCs anywhere because I'm going to interlock with my crowd. I'm going to invite them in. I'm going to blow the roof off for them. And they're going to know who Big Mike is when I'm off that stage.
Yeah. And, you know, it sounds like horrible swagger, but it really is just pride in what you do.
It is. You got to have that confidence.
Yeah. Man. Like, I don't know. I've always taken the attitude of I'm not going to put something out that I wouldn't want to go all the way.
Exactly.
So...
why?
You know, like,
why are you going to get up there on stage and go halfway? Why are you going to go in the studio?
Exactly.
You know, nah, man, what are you doing? Like, if you're here to do this, then this is supposed to be done at 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know? And the new album that you've put out, It's All Love, is absolutely at 100%. It is most fantastic. As a matter of fact, talking about things like that, let's get into... Big Wave real quick. Big Waves is the seventh track off of this album.
Woke up from dreams of doing it big, living my life, got love for my wife, love for my team, and love for my kids. Working so hard, we were building the biz. Big praise for living again. Big waves, you sick or you swim? Big games, we playing to win. Big flames, we burning up, man. This was the life I was dreaming about. They know where we are, cause we puffing the loud. Put some respect on the name, CHHK, yeah, we getting paid. The whole team, we go crazy insane. Berserk on the beat, yeah, we off the chain. Hop on this wave, yeah, we on it, ayy. Can't stop the stain, cause we built it, ayy.
Yeah, wake up, thank God. Count up, I'm paid. My team is day one, same squad, no trade. Head ups, head downs, some left, some stays. Yeah, clean house, no maids. Yeah, good vibes, big waves. Yeah, wake up, thank God. Count up, I'm paid. My team is day one, same squad, no trade. Head up, head down, some left, some stays.
And that is Big Waves featuring Jason the Professor, Big Tree, and Southside Hippie, produced by Southside Hippie.
Yeah.
Off the album It's All Love, that is track 7. Let's get into a little bit of that, because this is a straight modern throwdown, like utter flip side of the coin from the title track It's All Love. And that's what I loved about this album, is that it really does span genres.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the production, when it for comes sure. to the stylization of each song.
Yeah, that was something that I wanted to do with this album, is I wanted to be a little more diverse and not so just boom bap. That is my bread and butter, the, you know, more golden age sounding beats. Mm. And on this track, so Southside Hippie, the producer, he's someone that we worked a lot with. And what he would do is we would have sessions and we would just create beats, and he'd be like, okay, what do you want this beat to sound like? He's like, what about this sample? And we would build the beats up. And that's one that I did a session with him just for the crew, for mm-hmm. any of the artists on the label. And when I heard that song, I said, I kind of like that. And I said, hey, man, would you want to do a hook on this? You know? And he was like, yeah, I could do a hook to that. And I said, okay. And, I knew right away that was something that I wanted to put on the album, because I wanted to do that. I kind of wanted to show the versatility of the writing, you know, on different sounding stuff, because that's more trappy, more,
yeah,
you know, atmospheric type beat, and a lot different than what you normally hear me. And I love it. It's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah, it is definitely, like I said, totally different sound than most of the songs around it on the album.
It is.
Let's get into a little bit of what that song is about, things like that, because I love it whenever you and Jason work together on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something special that happens there between the two of you guys.
Awesome, yeah. Yeah, man, we've, you know, with academics and forming that, we just feed off each other. We work, we're actually, he's one artist that I can say, you know, I don't have to write my verse after his. We usually are always in sync, same way with the business end of things.
Nice.
With CHHK, and so it kind of happens naturally. But really, it's that song is, you know, about the waves of the impact of CHHK and the local scene, but also the positivity of it. It's a very positive song. It's not very negative. Jason is referencing what we represent. We represent the culture. And the waves, the ripples that come off of that are changing a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a beautiful thing to where we can take how we rap and what we rap about and putting on a beat that is totally out of comfort zone of either one of us and make it a good song.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those things where, like you said, with Jason and I, that magic happens like that. And originally, Big Tree, I didn't have him on a song on the project. And when I heard this, I was like, man, his voice would sound great on this beat. And so instead of doing, it was just going to be a verse from me, a verse from Jason, and then a verse from me at the end, and then that's it. So it became, as it is now, a verse from me, which is like an introductory verse, and then Jason the Professor, and then Big Tree, and then I closed it off. I feel like I put put the head on it, and then grab the cap.
Yeah,
and put
the book together. Ended it together.
Yeah, and it's I like the way it came out. It came out like a great song, you know?
Yeah, and the one thing that I love about CHHK is the fact that y'all are actively taking local artists and not just lifting them up, but really kind of showing them the path through the industry.
For sure.
Y'all were recently here in the last year signed on to Sony for distribution, things like that. Y'all were distributed on Sony's music channel on YouTube.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. So it is definitely nice to be able to hook up with someone like CHHK.
For sure.
But it's not every artist that you come across that you're working with, of course. What is it exactly that you're looking for in that artist that you want to lift up? That person that you just kind of look at and go, hey, they need to be in CHHK. They need to hit that next level now.
I think the first thing, of course, you know, has got to be, you got to be talented. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. And talented, more so to speak, is unique, I think, is one of the things that we look for. Kind of have their own sound, but can also be, like we show on this song, a little versatile with their sound to, you know, to kind of hit some of those modern keys, but also still definitely have respect for the culture of hip-hop and where it came from, and understand what CHHK is about, you know. And work ethic is a major one as well. You know, it's got to be somebody that's really pushing themselves, really putting out product, has shown that they are able to do what we're looking for in the past.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it goes down to a lot of things. Also, vibe, you know, the vibe has got to be right. We talked about that earlier. If we meet up with someone and it just doesn't feel like it's right, or they're not dedicated, or it just isn't going to be kind of what we're looking to help them with. And it's a joint venture, right? So we're trying to help people, give people a platform and a voice, get their music heard. And at the same time, we're trying to build something special as a record label, you know, to be able to present good music to also fans of music, you know?
Yeah.
And if that's not really feels like that's the direction it's going, then we notice that immediately. And then we choose not to go that direction. It's pretty simple, you know? And like I said, me and Jason are usually really similar on thoughts on things.
Yeah.
And even when we're not, we bounce stuff off of each other, and then we always have an explanation, and then we meet somewhere in the middle, as you should when you're a team, and then you know, put your best foot forward with what you're going for with that.
Yeah, and it for me, not just as an artist, but a network owner, it's one of those, I'm pretty choosy as to who I bring in. It definitely has to do with somebody having a product, having something that they want to put out,
right.
Whether it's a podcast, what have you. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it's really more somebody that has a scope.
Right.
Somebody that has an idea of the big picture. You don't have to have all the finer details. You don't have to know everything about distribution. You right. don't have to know everything about marketing.
Right.
What I think sets y'all apart from most labels is that you are actively helping the artist through that. You aren't just pushing the artist through that.
No.
You aren't just going, hey, okay, we're going to get a hold of the label and we're going to do all that. And no, you're trying to enable the artist to be able to do this themselves, right. to where with or without CHHK afterward,
right. exactly,
they can still be a successful artist.
Exactly. That was always our main goal with it, was to help propel people, inform people, and elevate people to a point where if that success happens with CHHK, or if they go on their own road, because things happen, people change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Opportunities come up you cannot pass up.
Yep.
You know, and they become successful that way. You know, we're here as an institution that is here for artists to learn about the industry.
Yeah.
And I have to take my hats off to Jason the professor, because that guy is a super intelligent guy, and he does his homework. And a lot of stuff that he studies, and he shares a lot of that information with me. And together, man, it's just amazing that we've been able to inform people. You know, a lot of people don't even, you ask artists, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to put this music out and I'm going to do this and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, who are you registered with? You registered with BMI? You registered with ASCAP? Who you registered with? What is that? That's your PRO. And like, PRO, what is that? You know, and it's like, dude, you've been doing shows and creating music for so long and you don't know who BMI or ASCAP are?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, I just put my music out on SoundCloud. And it's like,
no.
That's
no.
Yeah. It's no. Like, man, you're creating something. You're taking that energy, that creation, and you're giving it out to the world for free, which is okay if you want to do that. But if you're taking time and putting the effort into doing it and you got something special, you got to be able to be knowledgeable to know how to collect for the effort that you put in.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the very least, even if you're working toward BMI, ASCAP, Rumblefish now,
right,
all that kind of stuff, good Lord, man, at the very least, go out and get your website.
Right.
Put all your stuff up on a website before you go put it up on SoundCloud.
Exactly.
All that kind of stuff. At the very least, it gives you a very clear distinction of digital ownership.
Exactly. I mean, our website, like, needs a lot of work, but, you know, we started that one with a free account on Wix.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then we decided, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and buy, let them host and buy the domain name, and boom. You know, and it needs to be developed, but that's what we did. So anybody that's listening, you can go to Wix and a lot of different places and start a website for free.
Yeah.
And it's
you
drag
can.
And drop. It's
you
super
can.
Easy.
And that's just it. That's the main thing. I actually did a whole episode of Talking Sound with the head of Blueberry, one of the larger podcast hosting platforms.
Okay.
And it was great to hear, like, a major worldwide corporate owner. Like, they're easily in the top two or three every year of podcast distribution, stuff like that.
Nice.
And to hear him not only speak live at a conference all the time, but also on my show about the fact of, go buy your URL.
Right.
I don't care if you come to me and host your content with me.
Right.
I really don't care. Mm-hmm. You could go anywhere.
Yeah.
And host your content. You could go to SoundCloud. Just whatever you do, put it up on your website first.
Exactly. Yeah.
Put it up there first. So it all dials.
Exactly.
Well, the main thing is you're spending all that time and effort on branding.
Right.
And then you're just putting it out there without making it dial home.
Right.
You know,
so
you aren't
can't
making,
find the rest of it.
So when they go to look at your brand,
right,
instead of finding you, they're going to find iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, everything else instead of you first,
which all that
and
stuff,
then
it should be
iTunes,
on the website, right?
iTunes, YouTube, everything else,
exactly.
Underneath it, you should be going from the top down from your website to all those,
exactly.
And it's hard to be an artist. It's hard to grasp that, to really wrap your noodle around that. It's not easy. Really isn't. There are so many facets to the jewel that is being an artist, to
definitely
distributing music and getting music out there.
Yeah.
What has it been like for you as a founding member of CHHK to have really helped foster that kind of community, to have really helped kind of, I guess, change the way that a label looks at artists?
It's actually been one of the most rewarding things to know that, like, you know, there's no qualm or specific hangnail or underlying devious reason for doing it.
Yeah.
But that it's a natural thing that I really want to help artists, you know, to be able to navigate the difficult lanes of the music industry. Because, as you know, it's not easy. It is tough. And there's so much music out there. Your music can get easily lost, you know, and lost in a haystack. And people say it all the time, you know, about hip hop. It's like, well, oh man, all the hip hop sounds the same now. There's no good hip hop out there.
Yes, untrue.
Very untrue. Very untrue. It's our job as creators and artists and distributors and promoters to be able to get it out there through those vehicles that are there available. And you got to have a budget. But you can do a lot on your own. And if you're not putting it out there for people to see, then you're taking a chance that somebody's going to stumble upon your music or your song.
Yeah.
And that's a fat chance, I tell you.
Well, it is quite literal. Just to put it into podcast perspective.
Oh, man.
There are now over 1 million podcasts.
Right.
So have fun with somebody just stumbling upon your podcast. Have fun with somebody just stumbling across your music on YouTube.
Exactly.
YouTube is now the second biggest search engine in the world.
It is.
Now that Google bought it out a decade ago almost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to put your stuff out there, you really do have to have that follow-up. And one of the things that I'd always talk about in that little band meeting that I had with people was I'd kind of look around the room and take a head count. Like, okay, we got 4 guys in here. Now, with these 4 guys that are in here, we just had an hour and a half long rehearsal, 2 hours long. My calculation is always 3 times as much time on promotion as what's spent in the studio.
For sure.
So if you just spent 3 hours that week in the studio rehearsing, you need to spend nine hours that week
pushing it,
promoting your music.
Exactly.
And you can divide that amongst the group. You could do 9. It would be better if you all did 9 hours
amongst the group.
That would be like a dream come true.
That would
all
be fantastic.
4 of you. That would be 36 hours of promotion. That is over an entire day of promotion. And when you start doing that metric math rapidly, you know,
you start breaking down algorithms when you start doing that.
Oh man, it goes like you can just see the math like moving in front of your head of like,
exactly.
Wow, we should be able to metrically grow this rapidly.
Yep.
And I used it, like I said, I used those videotapes very frequently.
Yeah.
As a metric as to whether or not I wanted to work with a band. And whenever I would tell them, like, yeah, you know, I'll take a snip and I'll put it up on YouTube.
Right.
It wasn't for me to get views because they weren't monetized. I would share them with them, and then I'd see how many views they got.
Right.
And I'd be like, well, you know, I don't know, guys. We shared that video a few weeks ago, and there are 5 of you.
Right.
And there are like 35 views. I gave James his the other day from a singer-songwriter show, and he's got 200.
Right.
There's 1 of him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Some math is not adding up here.
There is some math that's really not adding up. Either you're not doing your work and you're not promoting, or your music's horrible. 1 of the 2. And it's not that your music's horrible.
It's not. You know, and I tell you one thing, and hopefully some of the CHHK artists will hear this, is that is, you know, very much a big way down on being able to put your stuff out there. And so I, you know, implore them to share stuff all the time. And you can do a self-started campaign promotion with multiple people on multiple platforms. Through hashtagging and through certain videos and all of that stuff, you know, through certain links. And, you know, that's one thing that I wish our artists did more.
Well, and, you know, I'm working on that with my network folk, too, because, you know, we all get into this rote habit of how we do things. And it really is about scheduling that in.
It is.
It really is. It's about that presence of mind of, hey, I'm going to drop this. Hashtag CHHK.
Right.
And you've just got to be shameless about it.
Yeah.
You really do.
Me and like Jason was just talking about this earlier.
I hashtag HG Universal on everything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. It could be like a post to Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, dude. You may see an HG Universal hashtag in
there.
Awesome. Just because I'm going to throw it out there at least like 2 or 3 times a week.
Right.
I'm going to throw it onto something just so that it's out there.
Right.
And it's floating out there.
Yeah.
Whenever I post any episode, it immediately goes up to the page.
Right.
You know, aside from my group where it went originally, it goes over to the Universal page so that all those people get exposure to it as well. And it really is learning to leverage these social media networks.
For sure.
Using them for more than just aimless complaining and watching cat videos. though lately, thank God for the cat videos, right?
Yeah,
for sure. Long as the cat doesn't have coronavirus.
Exactly.
Canceling my shows.
Those cat videos may be keeping some people sane right now.
They may be keeping the internet totally at bay. All fires are not happening in the world because of the cat videos.
That's right.
Who knows how many mass riots we've avoided because of those.
Very true.
But it really does come down to the fact of you've got to work for it. If you want it, you've got to work for it.
You
nothing,
definitely do.
Nothing in this industry on any facet of it is handed to you.
It's
whether
not.
Whether you are a technician, whether you're an artist, whether you're a load in, load out guy, it doesn't matter. It's all the effort that you put into it.
Exactly.
I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come in.
For sure.
Really kind of delve into this. I'd love to talk with you and Jason more.
For sure.
About self-promoting artists, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Really start kind of cracking the nut on some of this for our audience as far as what they can do for themselves as artists.
Definitely.
And technicians, things like that. So as we kind of go out here, tell everybody where they can go to check out the music of Big Mike Pareto, where they can go to check out the College of Hip Hop Knowledge, all that good stuff.
Sure. So I'll start with our website, which is chhk512.com. That has all of our roster on there, all of our music on there. It's got our merchandise available. It's got videos. All of our stuff is there. Me personally, you can find me at Big Mike Pareto on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. I have a separate YouTube channel.
Oh, you're TikToking?
I just started. I've got like,
I don't know about the TikTok.
I've got like two or three posts.
I don't know if I'm hip enough for the TikTok.
But it's
dude.
Cool, man. The videos,
I know.
The video effects and the filters are cool, man. I'm going to figure it out. It's important, right? As these new social media platforms
come out. Absolutely.
You got to be on the cutting edge. And that's where, you know, that one is monetizable.
It's where the kids
as
are.
Well,
it's where the
know?
Kids are.
It is. But yeah, you can find me anywhere there on those, Big Mike Pareto. And College of Hip Hop Knowledge on Facebook is where you can find us. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. Sorry about the South by cancellations, but
your show isn't canceled.
My show is not our show.
Where can everybody go to check out your show? Because this is coming out before your show, so make sure and drop that promo in.
Oh,
here.
For sure. So the Keith Murray of Def Squad is coming down here.
Oh yeah.
And on Friday, March 20th, we will be at Kick Butt Coffee from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Woo!
Long show, beautiful show. Whole cast of...
That's
of,
10 hours, folks.
Yeah. Whole cast of local music and some traveling artists that are still coming in. Saturday, we'll be in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
At Reggae Bar with Keith Murray. And Sunday, the 22nd, we'll be in Houston with Keith Murray at Skyline Hookah Lounge.
Yeah, I mean, y'all really hooked up with him and just kind of made a little mini tour out of it.
We did.
Like,
it's
beautiful. I saw the announcement of like, hey, he's coming to this. And then it was like, oh, he's coming to these too. Like,
yeah.
We just lined up two more shows.
We did, man.
So it's great whenever you get to tag team stuff like that.
For sure.
Really, really get to turn it into like a weekend type of event.
This is like the first time that we've been able to actually make that happen in multiple cities. So it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm hyped about it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, we will definitely get the word out there.
Definitely.
Make sure that you guys go out, check out all the great music from Big Mike Pareto, as well as the College of Hip Hop Knowledge. Check out their South by Showcase that's coming up. All that good stuff. As we go out here with Casualties of War, track 10 off of the album It's All Love by Big Mike Pareto.
Get fucked, another casualty of war. Y'all all suck. Casualties of war.
While you're online checking out all the great work of Big Mike Pareto, College of Hip Hop Knowledge, make sure to stop on by podcastcadet.com. That is where you can find all of the great help. If you're trying to start up a podcast, if you have a podcast and you need to hit the next level, stop on by podcastcadet.com today. They have all the help you need, everything from branding and marketing, social media campaigns, to production and distribution. Use the code TALKINGSOUND20 on the way out the door to save 20% off your entire purchase.
light the torch, cause it's on. Fight back, stand strong. A beast to these beats in the streets, we get it on.
Make sure to stop on by the Talking Sound Show, TalkingSoundShow.com, TalkingSoundPodcast.com to catch all the great interviews, all the great episodes, as well as great industry news and more. Make sure to stop on by HCUniversalNetwork.com for more great podcasts and content. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of your hearing, keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Now.